If you got your Bible, I do want to look at John chapter number 11 tonight. I want to talk about Lazarus. But I want to get to the point that we talk about a practical application of the Scripture. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but there is a practical application from Lazarus. When we study the Word of God, and I've used this analogy several times, I've talked about it several times in the Bible study on Sunday night. In the Word of God, there's a historical application, a doctrinal application, and a practical application. And in this Scripture, there are a lot of pictures. There are a lot of types, and there are a lot of things that God is saying to us other than just, yes, He did call Lazarus forth. And yes, He did show up, and He had been dead for 4 days. But there are some things that we can look at and apply to our lives today. But in the book of John, chapter number 11, beginning in the first verse, and I just want to go through this to give you the historical picture, and then I want to move on and get to the doctrinal or the practical application. But the Scripture says that there was a certain rich man, or a certain man was sick, whose name was Lazarus. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now you find reference to that Scripture in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse 7, where she come in and she poured the perfume on His feet. And of course the disciples, they complained. But one thing about Mary, every time you find Mary, this Mary, she's at Jesus' feet. It says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now they had a relationship with Jesus. And they knew who he was, and they knew that he loved their brother. If you go on down and you read, when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now I want you to see this. Sometimes you pray and you ask God for something, and you say, well, if God loves me, where is he at? Well, here it is. The Scripture says plainly, right before it said he abode 2 days, that he loved Martha, he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus. But he stayed right where he was at for 2 days. Then after that said he to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Now folks, there's an application for that. And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Well, of course, the disciples, they say, well, Lord, if he's asleep, he does well. But Jesus was speaking to them about his death, but they understood him not. And then he turned around and he plainly said, Lazarus is dead. And then he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now they were about to see something that was going to give them courage and going to give them strength to do the things that they needed to do after Jesus was gone. Of course, there's doubting Thomas. Well, here he is again. He said, let us go that we may die with him. Now, when I look at this Scripture, Jesus says this sickness is for the glory of God. And he says, I'm going that I may awake him out of sleep. And then we go on down and we see how that when he gets there, they speak to Jesus and they say, Lord, if you had been here, that our brother had not died. Again, they believed. And then Jesus speaks to him in the 23rd verse, and he says, "Thy brother shall rise again." Of course, they say, well, we know he'll rise in the resurrection. And Jesus speaks, and he says, "I am the resurrection." Now, when he goes and he begins to speak to them, of course, people said, you know, he's been dead for 4 days. By now, he stinketh. But this was really, it happened just like the Word of God says. And that's historically, that's what I want us to understand. That I read this and I believe this story because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He is God in the flesh. And I believe it was for the honor and glory of God that He did not go. Now here's something I want you to see from a historical picture that we can actually move forward into a doctrinal. Is if you are in a position that your relationship with God is close enough, that you love Him and He loves you, and something comes on your life like this for the honor and glory of God, and you pray and God does not move. For 2 days after He had heard, He stayed. And they were probably questioning, and a lot of times people do, where's God? But when you love the Lord and He loves you to the extent that He can trust your faith in Him to the extent that He's going to use your life for His honor and glory in such a way that when the world sees what He does, they say, surely this was the Son of God. Surely God did this. Now they said, Lord, if, and they believed Him and they trusted Him. And then Jesus went in the 34th verse. He asked, where have you laid Him? In the 35th verse, Jesus wept. And I believe, folks, God is still showing that compassion. And then the people begin to look and they say, well, look how He loved Him. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And He cried, and Lazarus come forth. Now, the Scripture says, He said, Lazarus, come forth, or come out. Now, if you go on and read in the story, the Bible says that Lazarus, he come out bound in the grave clothes, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Now, that's the story. I like the story. You know, I preached not long ago that Lazarus had a testimony about Jesus. If you want to know who he was or what his power was, there were a lot you could have asked, but you could ask Lazarus. Now, when I look at this scripture, here's some things I want you to see from the doctrinal standpoint. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe this for years. The more I study the Word of God, the more I believe it. I believe the greatest attribute of God is His holiness. And His love for us is born out of His holiness. Because if it were not for His holiness, He could not love us the way that He does. And everything, I believe this with all my heart, everything that God does, He does it for His glory. And the reason that people don't like that is they want God's glory and they're simply not willing to give it all to Him. But He's God and we are not. And He said, this man's not sick unto death. This is for the glory of God. Now, what God does, He does for His glory. Now, remember in the story, they said, well, you know, the last time you were in Judea, they attempted to stone you. And you're going back? Remember over in the book of Acts when they were staring up into heaven and Jesus ascended and they said, the angel said, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, in like manner, He's coming back. To the same place that when He was here, what'd they do to Him? They crucified Him. Now, folks, I will tell you, when He comes back again, He's coming back a little different. Okay? His voice is going to be like rolling thunder, and His eyes are going to be a flame of fire, and to look at Him will be greater than any special effects of any movie you've ever seen, I promise you. And He's coming back. And when He comes, you know, in this story, they say, well, you're late, God. He's been dead 4 days. Sometimes for us as Christians, what do? When we see what's going on in the world? I don't know about you, but sometimes I look around and I say, God, when are you coming? I see the signs of the times, and it seems to me like everything is ready, but I promise you, when he comes, it's going to be right on time. He's going to be right on time. It's going to be exactly the right time. Not according to our timing, but according to God's timing. So I believe he's coming at exactly the right time. He's going to come on time, and he will come. But you know, when he got there, and the scripture says that he loved Martha, and he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus, and when he asked where they laid him, and he went to the place, the scripture says that Jesus wept. Now, have you ever thought about what Jesus is doing? The Bible teaches us that, you know, he's making intercession for us. 17th chapter of John, he prayed for us. He prayed not that we would be taken out of the world, but that we would be kept from evil. And I keep going back to this scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, where it said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And every day that we tarry until Jesus comes is the opportunity for one more Lazarus to be saved. You see, because when we begin to look at this from a practical application, we all have Lazarus or a Lazarus in our lives. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. You see, he will come, but he is long-suffering. And what he does it for his glory. And folks, he's going to get all the glory. I believe that. See, when Jesus comes, he's going to speak. And just all he's got to do is speak, and the armies of the world are going to fall backwards. I believe that. I believe he's got that power. I believe he is the Christ. I believe Jesus is the resurrection. And one day he's going to cry, "Children, come forth." And we're going to go and be with him. Now, I want us to look at this. What I really want to look at is the practical application of the Scripture. When you talk about this Scripture and you talk about one coming from the dead, people don't believe that. Unless they believe the Bible, unless they believe that God created them from the dust of the earth, unless they believe that Jesus Christ came and he was born of a virgin and he lived a sinless life and he died on a cross as the substitution for our sins and that he rose again the third day, they don't believe that. In fact, they mock us. Because it's unnatural to the natural man. But it's not the natural man that'll receive the things of God. If you believe in Christ, you're saved by grace through faith. You're not saved of works. It's not anything that you can do. And really, you're not going to be able to understand it with the carnal mind. That's why you have to move when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and accept what the Holy Spirit is bidding into your heart. It's beyond our understanding. But what this does is it gives us a picture of the resurrection. That he will come and he will cry, "Children, come forth," and we will go and be with him and he will be glorified. But I want you to look at some pictures. I want you to look at some types. This is how we can apply it to our world and to our day. Lazarus, from a practical application, is a type of someone who is sick or hurting. His sickness is a type of a sin that may be crippling or that somebody's battling. And it's like this, the scripture, you know, he's sick unto death. Well, what does that mean? Have you ever known somebody that was in such a bad shape that when you look at them, you thought, they're next to dead? There's nothing that can be done for them? I've seen people and I've heard these kind of comments. There's nothing you can do. And the death is a type of defeat. And then you have the crowd. And they're standing around when Jesus is coming. And the truth is, the crowd is a type of themselves. It's like when Jesus is coming and there's a Lazarus there and he's sick unto death and nobody believes that he'll ever get up or that he'll ever be changed. Here's what they say. He's dead. They say he stinks. They say there's no hope. Some of them even weep. But they weep not believing that God has the power to raise Lazarus up. And some, when they see a situation, when they see a Lazarus, they even question God. You see, sometimes, and this is hard for me, it's hard for me to understand, it's hard for me when I look at my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I see somebody that I love, that I'm in church with, somebody, excuse me, that I care about, and they've got a son or a daughter that's out in the world, that's a Lazarus. And they cry and they pray for them and they beg God for them. But it hasn't happened. And then they begin to question God. And it's almost like Mary and Martha. And they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. But Jesus, after he had heard, he waited 2 more days. Something, that's what we can't understand. We don't understand the mind of God. But I want to tell you that God is able to bring Lazarus out. Okay, whatever your Lazarus is, God is able to bring him out. Now, I want you to look at Jesus. Jesus is a type of himself. In the Scripture, Jesus always represents himself. Well, what did Jesus say? He said he's sleeping. He's only sleeping. And even though he waited 2 days, I want you to understand, Jesus came at the perfect time. Because everything had to be in order, not according to my time or my understanding or your understanding, but according to God's time. And according to God's understanding. Now, when he got there in perfect time, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, let's consider what this sleeping is. It is a type of being away from God's will. Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. And that Lazarus, who nobody believed would ever return, who nobody saw what was going to happen or even could perceive it in their own mind, he came forth. And all that Jesus said was, loose him and let him go. Now, when I begin to think about this, I begin to think about what it could mean. Because all of us have a Lazarus in our lives. And you know what sometimes we're liable to do when we have a Lazarus? We're going to bury him. But what I believe God wants us to understand is not to bury what God says is sleeping. Can you get that? Do not bury what God says is sleeping. In other words, just because you've been praying and you hadn't seen the answer yet, don't give up. Just because you've sought God and He hadn't showed up in the time that you want Him to, don't give up. And I want to just share with you that what stirred my heart about this is I've got a daughter who lives off in Virginia. And when she left and she moved away, she was young. And I didn't want her to move away. And she got in a car and she moved to Pensacola. And I told her, I said, you can't go to Pensacola. You can't drive that far. She said, I'm going. Stubborn. So much so that, okay, if you're going, I can't let you drive the U-Haul. I'll drive it down there for you. And she was married and she was young, but she had her own life. And you know what my prayer was? I wanted her to be okay. I wanted, because, you know, we had done everything we could to raise her in church and to love her, and we cared about her, and we'd have done more. But I wanted her to be okay. And when she went down there, I asked her, I said, you know, y'all need to find a church. Y'all need to be in church. You was raised in church. Then it wasn't long, just a few months later, she moved to Virginia. She come by the house and I checked the oil on the van. It was 2.5 quarts low. I said, you cannot drive 700 miles, 2.5 quarts low on oil. And she went to Virginia and she called us. She was upset. She couldn't find an apartment. Mama, the prayer warrior, she prayed. She found an apartment. And I was still troubled about all this. Where are they going to go to church? What are they going to do? And one day my phone rang at work. And she said, Daddy, I just want to tell you that I went to church and I went to this ladies' Bible study. And the lady got up and she talked about Lazarus and she went through the story and she gave us this picture of what it means in our lives. And she said, Daddy, I just want you to know that I'm going to be all right. And she said, God wanted me to tell you not to bury what God says is sleeping. Now, what I want you to understand as a Christian tonight, the same God that raised Lazarus from the grave is the same God that we serve. He's the same one when you have a heartache, when you have a burden, and you go before Him and you're pouring your heart out. He's the same one. We may not understand it all. We may not have the timing right, but He's God and He's in control. And we can trust Him and we can believe in Him because He sees beyond what we can see. And He takes our prayers and He carries them where they need to be carried. And like it says over in the book of Psalms, when the psalmist wrote, He takes our tears and He puts them into His bottle and He knows exactly the right time to pour them out. And I want to tell you something. Those were probably some of the sweetest words that I ever heard my daughter say. And it was just like the Spirit of God spoke to me. Said, she's going to be all right. Now, we thought they would be moving home April. And here I am being tested again, amen. We don't know where they're going to be next year. So what am I having to do? Trust God. You know, when you don't know what to do, what can you do? Trust God. And when we look at this scripture, you know, Martha and Mary had different personalities. Remember the story? They were there and they were in the house, and Mary was at Jesus' feet, and Martha, she was busy and she was running around, and she come and she complained that Mary was not helping her. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much serving, but Mary has chosen the good part. We don't deal with things the same way. We don't see them the same way. But I'll show you in this story that when Jesus came, Martha went running to where He was at. And Mary was sitting in the house. And Jesus went in. And here's what I want you to understand. Whatever your situation is, God knows what you need. And it's really about a personal relationship with Him. And when you look at this story, here's what I want you to remember. Do not bury what God says is sleeping. Amen. That was something that helped me. Anybody have a word or anything you want to say for the Lord tonight? Let's remember Saturday night, 6:30. Y'all help me if I get this stuff wrong. Y'all know I've been struggling with this stuff lately. That's the taco dinner.